It's time for TechTown's Building Business Podcast with your host, Angeline Lawrence, the place where industry experts share their insights and best practices.
Hello and welcome. My name is Angeline Lawrence, and I'm here with Dr. Marla Rencher. She's the Senior Director over Tech-Based Programs for TechTown. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so let's start off with the work that you do around mobility. As we're going into Black History Month and we are celebrating all the contributions of engineers, of manufacturers that have come before us, tell us a little bit about how your programs are going to address mobility issues with technology.
I think the biggest contribution that we have at TechTown is the ability to make entrepreneurship accessible for people. So it's not going to be so much about how TechTown transforms mobility. It'll be about how the people of the city of Detroit transform mobility. Detroit has the highest concentration of engineers with business degrees, I believe, in the country. So you got a lot of this great talent that is working at the automakers and the suppliers. And some of them have really close proximity to some of the problems that we face. Also, we recognize that mobility isn't necessarily centered just around the, automotive. Mobility is about the technologies, the platforms, the devices that help people, information, and goods move freely and more safely and securely. So it can be everything from, an electronic bike or electric bike to something that helps money move a little bit more easily and securely. So from drones to cybersecurity, mobility is a big, big space. And what we are able to do is help people who are interested in solving problems with mobility from their idea stage all the way through to when they're ready to get some finances. And we help them with just a lot of support, a ton of support, more so than any other place at the early stage.
And that's something that you've been able to spearhead in that effort to make entrepreneurship, especially within the tech space, more accessible to a city with a majority Black population. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So I think one of the things, I'm an anthropologist. I look very seriously at culture. And also I'm a native born Detroiter. And I know that there are some places and spaces that don't necessarily feel as right or as welcoming for Black folks in Detroit, particularly around technology. And so we're really, really intentional with the language that we use, with the way that we open ourselves and say, hey, we don't say, hey, are you a tech founder? Come and join us. It's more like, do you have a tech idea? And most folks can say, yeah, I have an idea. Even people who, though, particularly around Black women, even those who are doing technology don't necessarily identify themselves as tech founders or technologists even. So we are intentional about the language that we use so that people can feel welcome and like, this is the place where I can trust my idea. I can trust the people who are there to support. Mm-hmm. So we're intentional about that invitation. And then once you come in, we have a variety, a very diverse group of people that are supporting our entrepreneurs. And when I say diverse, I'm not just talking about lots of Black folks, even though, we're very well represented in our team. We're just talking about folks who have a broad set of experiences. So wherever it is you come from, whether you have 20, 25 years with the automotives, or, you're interested in drones, you're interested in payment technology, you're interested in all these different things, we can tap into and make sure that you get some help, kind of as you move through it. So there's, welcoming in the beginning, there's representation in the end. And then also we recognize there's a wealth gap in the Black community. Mm-hmm. So we're not just saying, hey, go through this process and figure it out. We're giving you all the support. And there's also financial components. So there is money. We're basically your friends and family round. And we're able to do that through a partnership with the Gilbert Family Foundation called Venture 313. It's a platform, but also financing because, you know, many of the folks in the city of Detroit don't have a rich uncle that they can borrow $10,000, $15,000 from. So we're able to kind of combine this welcoming atmosphere of representation with financial resources that makes it just a little bit easier to take that idea that you have and put it into fruition.
Mm-hmm. And so that brings me to one of your key programs, the Start Studio Discovery.
Yes.
You initially launched it in 2019. And how has that impacted the number of Black and more diverse tech founders that are in Detroit?
You know, the original mission for this tech team, the one that really just kind of came out the box with, was we wanted to increase the number of tech founders that are in and of the city of Detroit. Recognizing that Detroit is a Black, majority Black city, we were very intentional through the things that I talked about in making that happen. And we've gotten to a point where we're at, you know, above 70% of folks who are underrepresented that are in our founder portfolio. But how it is impacted is at the very earliest stages, that's when companies need the most support. And we lead them through the process of customer discovery. Customer discovery is when you talk to potential people who could potentially be customers, and you're not pitching them what your idea is, you're getting a much deeper sense of what their problem is. A lot of folks come in with a tech idea and we lead them through the process of figuring out a hypothesis. Hey, you know, this is something that people like, or this is something that people don't like. And then doing the rigorous work in the beginning of, you know, testing your ideas. Because one of the things we also know with Black communities, we're not financially set up to fail really often, right? So we need to get a very deep sense of that problem really early, test it while it's still something that we haven't invested a lot of money in. And, you know, so that we're de-risking the process. And I think through that, we have helped all of the founders that we have to make sure that, you know, they're going in and not investing like all this money in a prototype without asking really simply, is it true that you actually have this problem? And if you have this problem, are you actually spending money to get that problem solved? If you're not spending money, if you're not willing to spend money, then you have to figure out something different. So, you know, having kind of de-risking it, I think particularly in Black communities, is really, really, really important because, you know, that wealth gap is there and we really want to make sure that they're supported and as much, you know, as much of that work is done in the beginning as possible, I think helps towards success at the end.
And since you mentioned the wealth gap, what other work is TechTown undertaking in order to help entrepreneurs or tech founders when they've completed their customer discovery and now they're moving on to building out their MVP? You mentioned that there was funding, but even beyond what they need initially to start up, how has TechTown provided like a wraparound for capital for when they've proven that they have traction and they've generated some revenue? Where can they go next, given that most Black founders are underfunded or not funded at all?
That was a big question that you asked. So I'm going to try to break it down a little bit. I think the first thing to note is that you kind of have to prove yourself. I think a lot of entrepreneurs think that because they've put a lot of their sweat, blood, and tears and things in, they can go up to somebody and say, hey, this is something that works. Trust me. Believe me when I say it works. Give me a bag of money and we can roll on to it. That's not how it goes, though. So what we do is provide some social capital. We say, hey, you know, we've provided some documentation. Hey, this person won a Start Studio. This person is winning the People's Choice Awards. This person is somebody that we're writing up and talking about. So those little things of support that we give, I think, help that entrepreneurs as they're building the case for not just that they're solving the problem, but that they're the founder that can solve the problem. Because, you know, those are two different things. There might be a problem that could be solved, but can that person run the business that will solve that problem? That's something that, you know, we help our founders to kind of position themselves as tech founders. You know, it's not necessarily the case that when you think, even Black people, when they're thinking about tech founders, they're not necessarily automatically thinking another Black person. They might be thinking about Mark Zuckerberg. They might be thinking about Elon Musk. They might be thinking about other people who are not us. So we recognize that it's not just building the company and the idea. It's also making sure that you, as a tech founder, are positioning yourself as the founder who's the best person to move this idea further. And so we're giving people tools and techniques to kind of take their experiences, take their credentials, take even their failures, and create a story that says, I am the best person to do this, along with building the business itself. That's something that's kind of subtle, but I think a really important part of the process, because you're talking to people, you know, you're talking to people who are going to make decisions. So you got to be able to tell a powerful story, a true story, but a powerful story about what it is that motivates you, why it is you're the best person to do it. So there's that thing. Additionally, I think what we recognize is, you know, I've done research about this in the past. Many of the people that we serve are not going to get venture capital funding. That's just a fact. And it's also a fact that many white founders who check all the traditional boxes, the majority of them are not going to get funding, right? So it's not just that venture capital funding is shutting out Black folks. It definitely is, much more so than anybody else. But also venture capital funding itself is just hard to get. And so one of the things that we're doing is making sure that folks, instead of pushing themselves towards this thing that like less than 1% of the folks out there are actually going to get, we're focusing them on, can we create businesses that are generating $1 million or more in revenue? That's the goal. So it's not so much, let's build this thing that we can pitch and get some money for. It's let's actually generate revenue. So the MVP, the minimum viable product that we're going to have folks, we help folks to create after they go through this customer discovery process, it is something that generates revenue. It is not just kind of a cool thing, isn't this cool? It's like, okay, there's a buy button and we test and see, okay, are people willing to buy? So it's not kind of your, you know, we'll keep burning cash because, you know, people are willing to dump, you know, several million dollars in you. It is, we actually are going to build a viable business that when we get to, you know, $1 million or more in revenue, then we can have a conversation about, you know, what would an injection of capital look like? And you're in a much different situation from a power standpoint when you're there and you're actually generating revenue than you would be if you just kind of have an idea and something that looks really cool on a website or on your phone, but doesn't have a lot of backing behind it. So I think that's a, you know, kind of along with having people understand and adjust their identity around being a tech founder, it's also around orienting themselves to making, you know, kind of recession-proof, you know, kinds of companies that are actually durable for the long haul. And I say the third thing is one of the things that one of my wonderful colleagues and friends, Dr. Dawn Bass, is doing is she's the director of our growth capital, and she's investing, or actually she is recruiting emerging angel investors. And those are folks who are Black, Brown, and are women that are in a position of being able to invest in companies. Why that's important is because even though I think most of the companies are not going to get venture capital finance, and just the way that venture capital is set up, that's just not where most businesses are. Angels are a viable source of potential capital. The deal, though, is that right now, angels are overwhelmingly white, overwhelmingly male, overwhelmingly older. As we diversify that group of people, then those group of people have firsthand knowledge of some of the problems that our entrepreneurs, our founders are trying to solve. And so, yes, they can understand that there is, let's say, a need out there for plant-based hair extensions, and that is a huge market. Whereas kind of a 70-year-old white guy that's bald might not necessarily, you know, really identify with that particular demand. So we're identifying those angel investors, giving them the confidence, because many of them don't have the background of lots and lots of money. So even introducing them to this new asset class and saying, hey, you know, this is something that, along with the other things that you do to generate wealth in your company or in your family, this is something that could potentially be beneficial to you and help generate wealth. So, you know, it's like the identity, it's the making sure that they're building kind of viable companies, and then making sure that we're on the other side of things, building this group of folks who could potentially provide some of that capital. Because just, you know, by the way, if we had these companies that were really, really strong and they just had the same old people investing in them and becoming wealthier and wealthier as a result of betting on these really great founders, then that's only a limited impact, right? But if, you know, the dentist next door or the person who's been saving up and has, you know, enough money to invest, if they are becoming a part of this process, then, you know, generational wealth becomes a lot more of an interesting target to go after.
And that's astounding that you seem to have provided a wraparound as you have founders coming in with just ideas. And if they can go through the stages and create and generate revenue, then now they're introduced to an angel investor who would be able to identify with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that seems to be the thing that sets TechTown apart from some other incubators and organizations around the country. Mm-hmm. So with all of these programs and services, what is one of the, an example of a tech company that has gone through the program and is now generating or on their way to generate $1 million or more?
So honestly, we're still new to this. One of the things, one of our key learnings is that like the things that we started in 2019, we're just now seeing folks that we invested in when they had an idea a few years back, went through the pandemic. We're just now seeing some real traction on the other side. Also with all of our programs, we adjust and change them every time we run them. So the Start Studio that we had in 2019 doesn't look like the Start Studio that we have in 2023. And in fact, when we first started Start Studio, we didn't have Discovery and MVP as two separate programs. We tried to do it all at once and recognize people will either do one or the other. They can't do both in the period of time that we have, especially because most of our founders at that point are not full-time in their startup. But that being said, there's some great traction that some of our companies have made from the Start Studio side, right? So, you know, we've had companies like Clean Break, which is Detroit made. We've had companies like, Urban Electronics, which has a really cool mobile game that's built on the blockchain. It's like a pay-to-play kind of company. They've had, you know, quite, you know, in the mid to upper six figures of investment from the same company that creates Pokemon. So we've had some folks do some really, really interesting things. I would also say that some of our biggest successes in terms of companies are because we don't just help people who start at the idea stage. Wherever you are, we can be helpful. So Livegistics is a company that we were, you know, helpful in working with in that they needed a key bit of technology in order to capture a particular contract. Because we are a smart zone, that's really one of the designated places where you can get assistance in the state of Michigan, we have access to something called the Business Accelerator Fund. And we were able to make that connection happen. And as a result, Livegistics was able to capture more money or capture that contract. They also, we refer them to the Black Ambition prize. That's the contest that Pharrell sponsors every year. And they won the top prize of $1 million as a result of being an excellent company and showing up for that particular competition. So we can be catalysts in the sense that we can connect folks to resources that they might not have known about. Like we, you know, Dawn is actually the person who sends out you know, all the pitch competitions, resources, things like that. And most of our entrepreneurs aren't that connected in the ecosystem. So we're that bridge for them. So we hope to see even more success stories. And we're doing all the things that we can to get folks there. I will say our partnership with the Gilbert Family Foundation to Venture 313 has brought us to an entirely new level. And that's something we were able to provide, you know, over $100,000 in funding to some of the entrepreneurs that we've had last year. And I think, you know, with that particular initiative, it's going to keep on going to the next and higher level. It's really going to accelerate.
Yes. And just in wrapping up, as someone listening to this podcast, they may have an idea. They've heard all these terms, mobility, tech, MVPs. How will you be able to engage the community to let them know that this is something that you can do if you have an idea? Mm-hmm. We're here to support you.
I think there's two big ways that you'll see in 2023 are the big ways that we interact with the community. In the past, wherever we go, we tell folks we have free strategy sessions with experts in these fields. So you can go to techtowndetroit.org and you can navigate your way to the strategy sessions, even do a search. And you know, everything from retail to tech, you can sign up with somebody just, you know, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever. You can have access to the calendar and sign up at that time and figure out a day that you can kind of work through your idea with somebody. I think that's crucially important. But bigger than that, in 2023, starting with the Black History Month event that really focuses around mobility, we are going to be doing outreach with all different kinds of community organizations, those who want to inform their members about the opportunities with mobility. We are more than happy to lend a hand. We're going to be really connected with community events. So we're not just going to be kind of sitting in our seats. We're going to go out and talk to folks. And so Raina Baker, who is our outreach and engagement manager, is going to be working a lot with Tu Lee, who is our mobility entrepreneur in residence, just really kind of evangelizing the opportunities that exist right now. There is so much opportunity as we become more electrified, as we become more sophisticated with mobility. And it doesn't mean that you have to start an auto company. It doesn't mean that it takes, you know, kind of all of this to do. It could be something really, really simple. Think about all the problems that exist from being, you know, terrified at a cop, if a cop stops you, you know, as you're driving, to, you know, not necessarily being able to get to work on time because the traffic, you know, the mass transit isn't working for you. All those are problems that could potentially be fixed, and the solutions don't necessarily have to be complex. You can be the one to kind of figure out how to get it done. And just know that you're not alone with this. If you go to techtowndetroit.org, we can help you. And hopefully we'll find a way to be in your neighborhood, you know, sometime during this year. But certainly reach out to us again at techtowndetroit.org.
Awesome. So in wrapping up, how can people find you, find the programs? You mentioned the website. Is there any other information or any other location that they need to visit to get additional resources for their business or business idea?
I think just the your absolute best step is to set up a strategy session with one of our tech EIRs. We've got a number of them that, you know, they'll be designated as Venture 313 or as tech in those strategy sessions. Those are some of the people who are taking a look at the people who are applying for our programs, and they are able to give more insight. Hey, I've talked to this person and I think that they're a good fit for this program or that. That's the best way to connect to the programs. You know, I'm the person who just kind of says, hey, you know, directionally we should go this way or that way. But they're the persons who are, you know, kind of your first contact. They help you to create the milestones as you go through our process. So I think that's your very best step. Also, I would highly recommend that You attend any open programs that we have, from the Black History Month Mobility program to our Start Studio showcases, where, you know, it's kind of a celebration of the end of the program. You can see a good sense. We give a good sense of what happens within it. So if you attend all those, or even if you go to our YouTube channel, where we have all those things, you know, recorded, you can get a much better sense of how we can be helpful. And we're just eager and willing. And all the things that I'm talking about are very low cost or no cost. If there is a cost, just tell us. And if you need it to be waived, we can make that happen. So just definitely invite you. Our whole job is to make sure that you know, you do the thing that you have in your head, that you haven't gotten out. We're really excited to make that happen for you and with you.
Well, thank you, Dr. Rencher. It's been great having you on the show. Again, you can visit our website at techtowndetroit.org and find our resources and keep an eye out for our events. Thank you again.
Thank you, Angela.
Have a business idea and need advice? Visit our website at techtowndetroit.org and schedule a free session with an entrepreneur from our Ask an Expert program. Or watch the latest training series video and add skills to your toolbox.